SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 1st of April 2025. The Australian share market bounced back today. The S&P ASX 200 up 1%. We'll have the details with Jamie Hammer from Van Eck in a few moments. But first to the Reserve Bank, which left interest rates on hold at 4.1%
despite
today.
Despite all the global news Michelle Bullock, and associated Reserve Bank Governor. Uncertainty since the February meeting, the domestic economy has evolved broadly as expected. The board's strategy is to bring inflation down and avoid a big increase in unemployment. And with low unemployment and inflation tracking down, we are well positioned for any shocks that might come our way. Inflation is an ongoing challenge, and we're aiming to get it to the middle of the band of 2 to 3% and keep it there. We judge that the cash rate is restrictive, helping us to achieve that. Private demand has picked up as real incomes have risen and public demand continues to support growth. Many indicators suggest that the labour market is tight, and the board has discussed the possibility that there's more strength in the economy, which could make it harder to get inflation back down. The board is focused on risks to activity and inflation in Australia. But there's also a lot of uncertainty around the global outlook at the moment. One of the things we're cautious about is that policy unpredictability overseas could lead to slower growth. The implications for inflation here, though, in Australia, are less clear. The recent commentary from the Federal Reserve and other central banks is worth noting. They're all conscious of the impact on global growth, but uncertain about the medium-term inflation implications. We're not on our own in navigating this period of unpredictability.
It's Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock speaking there, and to make sense of what all of that means and the direction for future interest rates, I spoke with Katrina L, the head of Asia Pacific Economics at Moody's Analytics. Katrina, so the Reserve Bank left interest rates on hold. What did it have to say in its statement about it?
That's a good question. I mean, the statement seemed very similar to last month, to be honest. There wasn't too much change. So we saw that they kept the cash rate expectedly on hold at 4.1%. And I think that the RBA made it very clear this time around again that they are, you know, navigating a whole lot of uncertainty at home when it comes to them sustainably wanting domestically driven inflation to return to the target band. And they're also trying to see how some of the overseas ructions, in particular the tariff threats, play out before they are comfortable moving rates further out of restrictive territory.
Any implication here for the federal election, do you think?
I mean, I don't think so. I think the incumbent government would certainly like to have had another rate cut delivered from the RBA before the election comes. But I think the RBA has made it very clear that, you know, because inflation just isn't cooling as much as they would like, and they're not as confident that that disinflation trend will continue, you know, we're just not seeing another rate cut. And it does really ram home the point from both sides of politics that they do really need to tread incredibly carefully when it comes to the cost of living support that they are offering households, because any meaningful improvement in household support could be inflationary, and the RBA won't hesitate to pause further when it comes to easing policy if that's the case.
Still, what are the expectations for further rate cuts to come?
So what we can be certain of is that the picture going forward is highly uncertain, unfortunately. So we do have a rate cut penciled in for July and then another one around the fourth quarter. But the RBA has made it very clear that, you know, the future path is going to be driven by data and what happens both at home and overseas. So that combination of looking out for how the labour market inflation data continues to play ball will be important. And also seeing how these tariff threats play out and whether they do actually meaningfully translate to higher global inflation, I think will be a key input into coming months' decisions.
And I don't think the RBA said anything specifically about the housing market in its statement, but we saw stats from CoreLogic today showing that the national median hit a record in March. It followed the rate cut in February, right? What do you think the interest rate environment means for the direction of house prices?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the data today really did ram home the point just how sensitive Australia's housing market is to changes in interest rates. We know that when we get rate cuts, in particular, the housing market does respond, you know, with gains. And we have seen that in the latest figures. And I think what we will continue to see going forward is that because the RBA is maintaining an easing bias, it's a cautious easing bias, but it is an easing bias nonetheless, we should continue to see modest gains in house prices going forward, particularly in the Sydney and Melbourne markets, which are particularly sensitive to rate cuts on the way down. But I think those gains will be tempered by the fact that affordability is so stretched that we won't see a massive rebound in the housing market. And that's also with the fact that we won't see a whole lot of rate cuts this year. We're only expecting a cumulative 75 basis points. So that's not a way to reinvigorate the market. That just does support modest gains going forward.
That's Katrina L there from Moody's Analytics.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market bounced back today. The S&P ASX 200 up by 1% to 7,925. For more, I spoke with Jamie Hanna, the Deputy Head of Investments and Capital Markets.
Jamie, first of all, how did the
market
react
to the RBA's decision to leave rates on hold? And what's the market pricing for future rate cuts?
Look, the market was fairly much unmoved after the rate announcement today by the RBA. They left it flat. There was a very little probability priced into the market of any changes today. So as a result, there wasn't any significant moves of note on the back of that. But if we actually look forward, the market is pricing in about 2 to 3 interest rate cuts by the end of the year. We're expecting the first rate cut to be in July this year. But a lot of it will really depend on the data coming out. We're being heavily influenced at the moment by global goings on, in particular coming out of the US, a lot of policy changes. So the RBA has already indicated that, you know, they're focused on inflation, but the data is going to drive where they make their decisions and how they make decisions. So a lot of that will unfold over the coming months.
Do you think it's fair to say investors are still more concerned in terms of the what's happening with global tariff policy, Donald Trump's reciprocal tariff announcement, especially coming through on Thursday?
I would say that every government in the world and every major investor in the world is really focused on what Trump is going to be saying in regard to the tariffs. It's certainly put a lot of uncertainty into the market at the moment because nobody knows the severity of how these tariffs are going to play out. If they are severe, how the market will react. And then for each individual company and each individual country will have to weigh up what the impact will be to their underlying business or indeed the country. So the uncertainty is playing out in the market and hence we're seeing quite a bit of volatility. I think right now, Australia is probably well placed in terms of other countries, but we just don't know. So for now, every eye and ear is on that announcement out of the US.
How is this being played out in the markets at the moment?
Well, what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of volatility in the share markets. If we look at some of the US markets, they have been swinging wildly intraday. So start of the day, they're down a number of percent and they're bouncing back to positive. This type of volatility indicates that uncertainty is prevailing. But overall, the share markets in the US have been quite negative. The returns have certainly been negative since the start of the year. And it really is a bit of a risk-off situation, meaning that a lot of people and investors in particular have been pulling money out of the US. And certainly that rotation has been playing out. But if you actually look at something like commodities, we're seeing a bit of the opposite. Gold in particular has hit all-time highs. It's at over $3,150 an ounce. That is up 20% since the start of the year. So we know that gold is a bit of a safe haven and people with uncertainty would generally buy gold and we're seeing that play out. But if we really weigh up other commodities, we take copper. Copper has also had a bit of a rally since the start of the year. But in terms of copper, it's been due to the buying. A lot of US companies are worried that Trump is going to put on a 25% tariff onto copper. So in advance of any potential tariff, they've been buying copper and moving it onshore into the US, so that if they need it later in the year, they won't have to pay the tariff. So all these tariffs we've been talking about and the, you know, potential for a tariff has really been adding to the volatility in the markets.
So you're talking, you've been speaking about how this is all playing out in the markets, right? Given this volatility, have you had to change the way you invest?
So we haven't changed how we invest as such. This type of volatility generally increases liquidity in the share market, which means more shares trade in this type of environment. But we're an asset manager that we're managing all different types of assets. We're managing shares, we're managing bonds, we're managing commodities. What we're seeing is a rotation between a lot of these. To give an example, if we look last year and the year before, there was a big emphasis on buying US growth companies. And growth companies are like the big tech companies. So you're really buying the future growth of that company. We've seen that in a bit of a sell-off recently and a rotation into value companies. So people are buying companies where they think it's underpriced relative to the valuation. So this type of rotation is playing out across the market. But individually, in terms of our investment, there's no major change to each strategy.
Okay, so in this environment then, do you still see any opportunities for investors?
There are always opportunities. If we look right now, we have been really strongly pushing gold mining companies for the past 2 years. And we've been pushing it because the gold mining companies hadn't moved much, even though the price of gold had been rallying. So if we look at what we're seeing at the moment for gold companies, they're mining gold out of the ground for around $1,500 and they're selling it now for $3,150. So that type of extra growth in the gold price is really just helping gold companies. If we look at something else, we look at the rotation. As I said, there's a lot of money flowing out of the US at the moment. But if you look, where is it going? Some of it's going into Europe, in particular defense. And I'm talking military defense, as a lot of European countries are actually having to increase their defense budget. And where does that defense budget go? It goes into defense contractors. So those types of companies have been doing well. So there are always pockets of opportunity, but I think it is worth highlighting that in these times of excessive volatility, it's always best to have a well-diversified portfolio because you don't want to be overexposed to any particular sector.
That's Jamie Hanna there from Van Eck. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.